This week's episode of Enough is brought to you, as always, by those lovely people at Squarespace. The place, the only place, the best place to build an amazing website, portfolio, or blog. We love Squarespace at 70 Decibels. They love us. They keep coming back and supporting us. They're doing some excellent work supporting the network. But even better is the work that they're doing on their incredible platform and the lovely, fantastic, brand spanking new Squarespace 6. You've got even more drag and drop elements. So you're building a website in your web browser and it feels like you're moving around things natively on your desktop. You drag in blocks of content that you want and they make up the pages that you need. If you want to create a portfolio, just drag a portfolio into an empty page. Just drag the images in. Excellent. Done. No problem. And with their new responsive templates, all of the images that you drag into that portfolio, into the gallery there, will be scaled down for all of the devices that you use. So if people are checking out your images on an iPhone or an iPad, the template and all of the images will be scaled down so it looks fantastic on that device. I absolutely love Squarespace. Award-winning 24/7 customer support. What more could you want? They give you custom domains if you sign up for a minimum of 1 year up front. And they integrate that seamlessly into your site so you don't need to worry about the horrors of some of those domain registrars and all the stuff that you need to do on the back end. Perfectly clean code, amazing SEO, much, much more. I want you to go and try this out. Squarespace is $10 a month for a standard plan and $20 a month for an unlimited plan. That features their rock-solid hosting, which never goes down. If you sign up for an annual plan, you get 20% off that. And if you sign up for 2 years, you get 25% off those prices. You just pay up front. And if you use the code 70decibels8 at checkout, you'll get an additional 10% off. That's 70decibels8. And if you go to squarespace.com/70decibels, you can start your 2-week free trial courtesy of us. Thank you to Squarespace for sponsoring.
Welcome back, Michael.
I'm very pleased to be back. This is the first show that I've recorded. Obviously, it's not the first one people will hear, but this is the first show since my whistle-stop tour of the Earth, as Mr. Hackett would have you believe.
See, I know that that's just a cover for your, your duties in service of the crown.
Told you not to talk about that.
We can't talk about that, though.
No, you're not allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, 008. I'm just happy to have you back. I mean, you know, Stephen's a good guy. We had some good conversations and all, but, you know, I think that people missed they missed the British element of this show, right?
Yeah. You know? There's one thing I have to mention. I have to apologize for the audio quality of the last two episodes.
Yeah, well, and me too. Part of that was because I had to, for reasons beyond my control, record at a different location. So part of it was that I was not on my normal fast connection. I was on a bit slower connection.
Yeah.
At my other place.
You sounded a bit crunched as well, but the episodes were great. Well, I haven't been able to listen to the one that we released as of today when we're recording yet.
I'm pretty proud of that one.
You should go listen to that one. Yeah.
I mean, because it's relative. That one is probably one of the shortest that we've done in a while. But I don't know. I expressed an idea that really resonates with me.
It's not about the length of the episode, Pat. It's how you use it.
I'll avoid the multitude of jokes there. let's talk about, because I mean this is going to be, I mean this is the topic of conversation in the internet. So I feel we have to talk about it, especially considering my, you know, more than low profile vacation from Twitter, and that is app.net.
Yes. So you will have heard us on the network talk about this a lot this week. Probably every other podcast you listen to this week is going to be talking about app.net. Because it's the hot story, but I did want to mention, I said I was going to say this when we were talking about just before the show, Pat.
Yeah.
This is the reason I decided to change the bro show. to Command Space for this reason, you know, because it would have been another show where we were just talking about the tech news.
Yeah, yeah. Well, and it would have been, you know, completely driven by that. But I would think Command Space also gives you the opportunity to, say, for instance, reach out to, what's his face, Colin or something?
Don't call her. I already have. I mean, but trying to get hold of the guys. I mean, I've sent him a Twitter reply, and I've also sent him on app.net as well. But I think I might send him another message and see if I can cajole him. Because I think he would be a great guest because I would like to grill him. I would love to ask the question because I want to know the answer. What would have happened if you didn't make it?
Yeah.
What would you have done?
Yeah.
Because I haven't seen that anywhere. I want to know what you would have done.
Well, and that's one of the reasons why I waited until, you know, the final hour to jump in myself.
Oh, did you?
Because it was never made clear to me what would happen if, like, I finally got and understood, okay, you're not going to get charged unless they reach their funding goal, right? Which is fine, but it seemed to me like, well, then I'm just going to wait until it looks that you're likely to reach your funding goal because I don't want to even just throw my credit card out to you without being relatively certain that there's going to be something that's going to exist on the other end of this. And so it wasn't until, you know, I started seeing people getting into the alpha and seeing it and commenting on it and things like that, you know, or when I started seeing it, them getting really close to their funding goal, which was like, okay, now I'll jump in because A, I'm relatively certain that you're going to reach the goal, and B, I have a clear picture that there is actually something that gets built, right? And what it, and what it's going to be and what it's going to look like. Does that make sense?
Yep.
And I think a lot of people were that way. I think that's why, like, 3 days before their goal, it looked like they were far away. They were something like $100,000+ away.
I think it was like $200,000 even.
It was ridiculous. Yeah. And then you know, within that 3 days, they just, you know, because it was, and I don't think it was because, you know, every well-known geek in the universe was, you know, apoplectic about it. You know, and I will admit that I did, you know, I did check the Twitter. And seriously, it was like, once again, it was like, you know, exactly everything that's wrong with Twitter, right? Because every single tweet was, oh, I just joined up for app.net, blah, 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 blah.
I think the excitement, because the reason that, like, it was totally dominating the conversation of the people that we follow, for example, is because the people that we follow were the people that were around at Twitter back in the day, you know? Like, you know, when it, like, people in, like, the first million. Like, yeah. I'm user number 763,000, for example, with Twitter.
Yeah, I don't even know what my user number. How do you find this out? Is this on the thing somewhere?
Tweetbot has it. I'm going to bring up your...
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to know.
You were user number 8,624,000.
Wow. So you were on way before me.
Yeah, I signed up in July 2007. You got in at September. So you can see I got in just before the real boom. You know, I was listening to Twitch shows and stuff then, and they were talking about it. So I started using Twitter just before they had the massive boom at that South by Southwest in 2007.
Yeah, and like I said, I didn't come in because me and my buddies were all on Jaiku, or that was Jaiku, wasn't it? That was the name of that one. It was Twitter-esque, and it was different. That's all I know. There were like three competing ones, and then Twitter exploded, and then, like, for whatever reason, we all decided to jump ship and go to Jaiku pretty much all together.
Indeed. But the reason that I mentioned that was because I think the reason that we're all so excited about it in our section of the internet is because we remember what Twitter used to be like. and we want that again. Like, just the idea is it was just us. We had our little club, and you could read the global stream at the Twitter feed. You know, and you could find people with similar interests that way. But you can't do that anymore.
Oh, it's impossible. If you read the global feed now,
they don't have it.
You don't even recognize like half the things they're talking about.
Twitter's pulled that anyway, that you can't actually access easily. There's some hacky way to do it, but you can't actually access the global feed anymore.
Yeah.
Because it's just incoherent.
Right.
And mainly Japanese. Seriously. Yeah. Before it went away, it just became Japanese, which makes sense. But, you know, and I think we're all excited about it because it's a place where we can all be ourselves again without Lady Gaga and Justin Bieber and One Direction. And, you know, when they put trends in this thing, the trends will help us find the news that we want. Instead of what have we got at the moment for trends? Let's take a look. One of the top trends at the moment is, mention a date you will never forget. And there are people like Alex Russo in there, Standard Chartered Bank, Paul Taylor. I don't know what any of these things are in reference to, you know, and it used to be you would see like IBM or something. You'd be like, oh, IBM's got some news. That's crazy. You know, and that's what it would be. But it's not like that anymore. And I think we all secretly want that again. But
yeah,
I want to get your take just on the service as a whole, because you are active here and you are not active on Twitter.
Yes. Yes, this is correct. And actually, a couple of people were like, hey, I thought you were taking a social media sabbatical. I said, I never said that. I've been quite active, in fact, on the social media that I trust and that I, you know, find value in. As you know, I've been very active on Path during this time. And heck, I think I tweet, you know, quote unquote, tweet more to day one than I do any. That's my own little personal private social network with myself.
I've got to say, day one has overtaken my life. It's in my dock. I use it more than many apps now. I am in love with it. It's actually keeping me sane. I'm putting a lot of my insane thoughts in here. Again.
Gosh, this happens. This happens every single time. Why is this? Why does this happen? We're recording. The phone just starts ringing for no good reason.
It's Ev Williams or someone like
that. No, it's probably like, you know,
they want you back.
Someone, some political thing.
Obama's on the phone.
Obama's on the phone. Yes, my personal daily call. He's just checking to make sure I haven't switched. which is the same reason why Ev would call me. I mean, the thing is that day one. And I think that this is going to be the secret to app.net eventually, right? I mean, this is what they have to do. And why I don't understand why they didn't do this first is beyond me. But that you want to have that kind of ubiquity, right? I mean, one of the reasons why Twitter took off early on was not because it was the best. It's because from the very beginning, it was built with mobile in mind. The reason for the 140 character limit is because that used to be the limit for SMS on many phone networks. Well, you know that,
it was,
right?
Yeah, I think it was 100. I think the actual limit is 150 something, but they kept 15 characters for usernames.
Yes, for usernames, for metadata, essentially.
And that's why there is a character limit on usernames, so it fits with the 140 to fit inside of a text message.
There you go. That's right. I mean, the entire thing was designed around the idea that this was to be used from mobile phones, not from the web. That this wasn't about the web. This wasn't about the, you know, that this was status updates via SMS from your mobile phone. And it was built with that in mind first. And because it was built, quote unquote, mobile first, I think that really allowed for it to take off a lot quicker than other competitors at the time or other similar services or ideas at the time. But even more so, that also helped to drive its early kind of nerd adoption, right? And I think that if I could fault app.net for anything, it's not taking that same approach, right? It's not designing their web-based site in such a way that it had a functional mobile app ready to go day one. Even if it wasn't mobile, even if you made the site responsive for mobile devices, that would have been a big improvement over what they currently have. Now, granted, some of that stuff is going to come because they have kept true to their promise of making the API as feature-rich and wide-open as possible, such that you have a ton of people developing already. It's like, you know, the alpha is just a couple of weeks open, and there's already, like, you know, 50 people developing various
things
based on the API.
There's a list on GitHub, which I will find you.
I've seen it, but do find it and shoot it to me so I can make sure it's in the show notes.
And it just shows you some of the applications that are being created. I've said this everywhere, and I'm going to continue to keep saying it. I think, like many other people, I feel this way. This will not fit for me until I have a native app on my iPhone. And until that point, I'm sort of sporadically checking in, seeing if anybody's mentioned me, seeing if there's anyone following me, in case there's anybody I need to follow back as people are joining the service. That's all I'm sort of checking in for. I'm not really reading the stream. Also, the stream is kind of unintelligible at the moment because you've got everybody's app replies in. And if you follow Dalton Caldwell, you know, you might as well not even bother, because obviously the guy is responding to everyone, or as many people as he can.
And everyone is asking questions, right?
So it's kind of unintelligible at the moment. I hope that they change that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and, you know, here's what I will say, though. Number one is rather ambitious. And I'm impressed. I'm impressed by how far along it is and how usable the alpha is for the basics, right? For the basics of what Twitter is. In many ways, it is, as you said, like Twitter in the very early days, before trending topics and hashtags and all this other stuff. It was you had the global feed. And you had your posting environment, and mentions even came along at a later time, right? But that is included here. But there's no DM, so there's no way to send someone a private message yet in app.net. No way to favorite things yet in app.net. There's features that are not there, but then again, those features weren't there in the early days of Twitter either, right? And this is already as far, I would say that this is probably in just a very short amount of time, maybe 1.5 years into where Twitter was.
Yeah.
If that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
And so, if my memory serves me correctly. So, I mean, that's great. It's great that, you know, it's ambitious, it's come along far, that they kept their promise. You know, there's nothing more wonderful and magical than going to your profile and seeing a big button right there that says download everything as a text file, and boom, there you go. All your posts downloaded as a nicely formatted text file. You know, that they really have, you know, kept their promise to their users, and I'm hoping that it remains that way. And for $50 a year, it better.
Tell me, Pat. Tell me.
Yeah.
Do you think it's going to succeed? Do you think that in 2 months' time we're still going to be here? Or do you think it's going to be like what happens to Path, where they have an update, everyone flocks to it, and then there's only a few people left?
Oh, I mean, gosh, these things are just so hard to say and so hard to gauge. But I'll tell you, it really, it feels like I said, my initial interaction and entry into Twitter was because kind of a group of friends of mine decided, oh, this is the new hip place to go. Let's leave this thing behind and go there. Mm-hmm. I have a similar feeling about app.net. That a lot of my friends on Twitter, certainly a lot of my friends on Twitter are here. And that while they still be maybe posting both places, it certainly feels like the conversation, the real good conversation has moved. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And like, oh, okay, this is, you know, and like you said, the early days of Twitter were like, oh, this is kind of like our own little private club and it's great and so few people know about it and that sort of thing. And quite frankly, I hope it, you know, I mean, this is the reason why that $50 is important and I think worth it, because I hope that that $50 keeps out spammers and keeps out, I don't know, I hate to sound like an elitist, but the $50 helps to make it a more exclusive club.
Yeah. I mean, you've got a lot more chance of talking to John Gruber on that than you do on Twitter, right?
Mm-hmm. You know, having a like a real conversation with him, right? Or anyone else that you think is like, because quite frankly, I mean, there's people that I don't follow on Twitter because I'm just plain like, oh, you know, it's like, it's not necessarily that I'm not interested in what they have to say. It's more so that even if I was, if I commented on it, they'd never reply to me because, you know, I mean, for God's sakes, that's John Syracuse. He won't talk to, he doesn't know me.
And all you're doing is just adding to the flood, right? You're just pouring another cup of water into the flood.
Right, exactly. I'm just adding to the noise, you know? I mean, the fact that, you know, I mean, the fact that I kind of had a little bit of a relationship with Brett Terpstra before he became Brett Terpstra. You know? I feel fortunate, right? Because, frankly, now that he's Brett Terpstra, I'd be totally intimidated to to have any sort of conversation with him or to feel like I was in any way, shape, or form, you know, adding to his stream or to his flow.
I mean, the guy is like the Gandalf of the internet. You can't you can't talk to a pure magician like that.
Oh, he totally is. He totally is.
I'm going to ask you, I mean, are you happy to stick with Patrick Roan? Did you have any fault to change?
No, that's pretty much where I'm. What I'm known as everywhere, right?
Yeah, I mean, that was the same for me. I mean, I would like to have changed from iMike. Like Mike is still available the way that I spell it.
Yeah,
but I've used this name for like 5 years. I'm not gonna change it. Like some people are changing their names and stuff, but I'm just like, especially if I want my Twitter followers to find me, just seems more sensible to me to keep the same name. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, I agree. Well, and I'm the guy who sometimes hot new service comes out, and I'll go and sign up for it just to protect my username, even if I have no plans to.
Yeah, I do. That may or may not have been the original reason I signed up for this thing in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just saying. But bottom line, so we can wrap this up. App.net, really fascinating. I have no clue if it's going to last. I really am enjoying what I'm finding here now. I'm active here. You know, I'm still not active on Twitter right now, and quite frankly, depending on how this goes, I might not be back. Not saying I won't, just saying in the same way with Mountain Lion and the discussion that I mentioned from the podcast I mentioned earlier, there's not a compelling enough reason for me right now to upgrade. So why do so? That's kind of where Twitter is at for me right now. There's not a compelling enough reason to go back, and what compelling reason there was is now here.
Right. Yeah.
So I don't quite know how to handle that, except to say that I really hope more of my friends from Twitter come here. And that as they are and as they I'm actively looking for them, seeking them out and following them and saying hi and letting them know I'm here and I'm engaging here. So if anyone out there is on app.net and you know you're a friend of mine or whatever, come engage with me there. I'm Patrick Roan there, and unlike Twitter, where you know if you've sent me an at reply in the last month you haven't received anything back, it's because I'm not checking them.
Yeah,
I'm not there. I haven't been, and I don't know when I will be. Come here
before we wrap
up. It's worth
it. Before we finish,
yeah,
I think it's worth mentioning that we have a new show that's been has debuted on the network in the last couple of weeks.
So excited about this!
It's a show that previously existed in another place, another iteration, but finally twisted these guys' arms enough for them to. Like a phoenix from the flames, bring the show to the network. It's the Sci-Fi Cast. So that's Mr. David Kahlo, who you may know from Homework or from 11 Minutes, previous shows on the network, and Mr. Gedeon Mayhew of the Icon Factory. Every week, Dave and Ged are sitting down, and they're not really talking about sci-fi, like sci-fi news anymore. They're talking just about sci-fi. You know, just the thing in general. So, like, for example, a couple of recent episodes, they've had one on reboots, one on sidekicks. You know, so they're just talking about, like, broad-reaching subjects. That
sci-fi-related topics. Yeah,
yeah. Which was my kind of mandate for the show when I pitched it to them. So I didn't want it to be news anymore. I wanted them to have, like, you know, I sort of said, look at this show. Me and you get together and we talk about something, and there are themes to the show. And we, you know, then every show somehow relates to one of the themes of the show. But the idea was that I wanted it to just be about the sci-fi genre, and it didn't want them to feel like they had to make sure they were keeping up with the news every week. So yeah, I want you to go and check it out. I mean, I'm not a massive sci-fi guy. I mean, I like what I like. I'm not into, like, I don't read sci-fi novels or anything like that. But I've been a fan of this show for a very long time. And I think that is kind of one of those testaments, right? So I'm not a massive sci-fi guy, but I still love listening to the Sci-Fi Cast, which is why I wanted them to bring it over. So I want you to go and check it out. And that's 70decibels.com/the-sci-fi-cast. One word. Obviously, there'll be a link in the show notes to that page as well.
Yeah. And I too, big fan of Sci-Fi Cast, was before they came on the network. I even guested it on an episode, and it was probably one of the most fun guesting experiences on any podcast that I've ever had.
Yeah.
So much so that when I heard that the show was going to come back and was going to be part of the network, I immediately emailed Ged and Dave begging to be a guest on the show, and I don't know if they'll fit me in at some point, but gosh, I'd be just so enthused about that.
Make sure that your previous episode of the old Sci-Fi Cast is in the show notes so people can
hear it. Definitely,
that was a good one. You're speaking about Battlestar and Firefly, I think.
Yeah, and also I think I was the only. God, there was some little game that they regularly ran, and I think I was one of the few people to get all the questions or whatever.
Yeah, right? True or Sci-Fi was the game, wasn't it?
Yeah, Truth or Sci-Fi. Yes, fun. That was the game. I think I think I'm one of the few people to win. So yeah, very excited about this. Very excited. Everyone should go listen to it and subscribe. Even if it means unsubscribing from this one, because, well, quite frankly, look, there are lots of other shows on the network. Really, give them a listen. Some of them are way better than this one. I'm not joking about that. The new Can't Command Space is excellent.
Thank you.
It's like, you know, if you had to choose between listening to a half hour of this and listening to an hour of that, and like you had the hour to give, I know which one I'd tell you to do, and it wouldn't necessarily be this. Not to say that I'm not doing a great job here and doing my best to deliver something that has value and meaning. Just saying that, I don't know. I don't think we give new things enough of a chance. And so I really think that people should go out of their way to do so.
Thank you very much, sir. All right, then.
All right. Well, take it easy, and we'll chat later, my friend.
Cheers.
Cheers.